Three, two. This is Craig Ellenport, and welcome to another Pain is the Pits podcast on the Health Styles Network, healthstylesnetwork.com. I'm joined today by founder of the Pain is the Pits program, Dr. Peter Kachajian.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome back.
How you doing, Pete?
Pretty good. Back from Florida. Had a nice stay in Orlando with my wife.
Excellent. The warmth and
vacation is pain management in America. Remember that.
That's right. Absolutely. Stress management, stress reduction.
Very good.
Well, while you were gone last week, actually, I had the pleasure of speaking to an old friend of mine for the podcast here, Sharon O'Connor, who is a licensed psychotherapist, but also a certified practitioner of Reiki.
Reiki.
And back when we started Health Styles and Pain is the Pits on healthstylesnetwork.com, Reiki was something I had heard about but knew nothing about, and it was very interesting talking with her. And for listeners, you can go back on healthstylesnetwork.com and take another listen to that podcast, learn what it's all about.
Craig, you didn't joke with Sharon on that, right?
Very popular
in the fall when the leaves fall.
That's right.
Reiki?
Yes.
No, different.
We Reiki in the fall. And,
Very good.
Yes. That was all you.
Very good.
But interesting concept and, you know, Eastern practice and spiritual and yet claims and legitimate claims that it helps with pain. And stress reduction, again, another stress reducer, and that gets into helping the pain because we know that stress and anxiety make the pain worse.
Right, so, they're linked.
So that was interesting, but obviously just one of many complementary care techniques when it comes to pain management and something that you in the Pain is the Pits program do embrace.
Right, because Pain is the Pits program is an integrative approach combining conventional and complementary care. So remember the distinction in America. When you talk integrative, it's conventional, the pill injection therapy surgery, and complementary, like you mentioned, Reiki. Natural products, mind-body practices, and we'll get into this.
And of course, we talk about complementary care because, by definition, it is complementing conventional care. And you know, when we say what's the difference between complementary care and alternative care, they're technique-wise, it's all the same. If you are doing it in conjunction with conventional care, then it's complementary.
Right.
If you're doing it instead of conventional care on its own, it's alternative.
Yeah, and alternative gets a little tricky, right? You know, most people think, well, if you're doing alternative without conventional, then, but it's a patient's choice. It's not a popular choice with all the availability of options for pain management in America. But, you know, if you want to do just alternative care, fine. But Pitts doesn't embrace that. Pitts embraces conventional and complementary, making integrative care. I think science and research says that works best.
I guess part of the concern, but part of the issue here is that there are just as many practitioners of alternative care that look at conventional care and say you shouldn't be doing that. Unfortunately, there are just as many conventional practitioners, doctors, who don't want you to try any kind of complementary care.
Yeah, so think about the individual patient. Isn't it, pain is so subjective that the individual patient and what's wrong with them and their philosophy and their ideals and their goals for their treatment program, that's got to be part of the makeup of the plan. You've got to see, hey, is the patient a complementary care-minded person, especially if their conventional program is limited? Remember, conventional care isn't working everybody. All the pills, all the injections, all the physical chiropractic therapies, the psychological therapies, and the surgical and the injection ones. Okay, that's 90% of people, but what about the other 10% that still need a little something? That's why there's billions of dollars spent on complementary care every year in this country, and by millions of chronic pain sufferers. They're all looking at complementary care.
We were just looking that up before we started recording the podcast here today, and you said $30 billion a year.
Yep.
On top of what's covered by insurance. Obviously, there's not a lot of complementary care that's covered by insurance.
But hopefully that will change.
Hopefully that will change. And something you just mentioned a minute ago also talked about in physical, chiropractic care.
Right.
And it wasn't that long ago that chiropractic care was considered complementary.
Right. As part of an integrated approach. I think with all the science and research with manipulation and chiropractic care, I've moved it in my Pitts program to conventional care. Right along with physical therapy, right? One strengthens, one straightens. So that's the physiatrist's way.
And but you have moved it over in your idea in Pain is the Pitch, but in general, chiropractic care is covered more in conventional health insurance these days, which is great. And it still has a little bit of a ways to go, but it is in general compared to some of these other complementary care things you're talking about.
Yeah, like magnets, like Reiki, like laser light. That science of research isn't as good as, say, acupuncture, massage, and yoga.
Right.
Better research there, supporting those complementary techniques.
So how do you introduce the idea of going for any kind of complementary care techniques to your patients?
Right from the start. A lot of my patients have already done complementary care practices before they've come for initial pain consultation, say for chronic back, neck, migraine, fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis. All these very, very common pain conditions have both conventional and complementary care approaches. So right from the outset, you know, when you come into the Pain is the Pitch program and you do your initial history and physical exam and look at all the tests and come up with your diagnosis and your treatment plan, part of the plan, besides medication, injection, therapy, and surgery, is complementary. What the patient can do on their own to be proactive. Remember, we've always talked about being proactive in the Pain is the Pitch program to get your best PITS score. So patients want to do yoga? Sure. We talk about yoga if they want to bring that up. But you want to try acupuncture? Yes. They're asking me all the time, hey, what do you think of massage? What do you think of acupuncture? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Well, you tell them the pluses and minuses and what your take is, and then fit it into what their belief strategy is. Remember, because pain is so subjective, hey, do you believe in acupuncture? Do you know anybody who had acupuncture? Science and research says acupuncture can help. It can help back pain. It can help neck pain. It can help headache pain, osteoarthritis pain. It can help anything. It helps smoking cessation. They use acupuncture in China. Help with even surgery. It can be so successful in the right-minded patient. A lot of expectation is important, especially if you're doing hypnosis and acupuncture. If you expect a good result, I mean, we talk about placebo effect. If you're expecting that and you're the right, you know, suggestible-minded type person, you'll get good results. It's individualized, Craig.
Yep.
The patient says. So we start from the beginning with the consultation. Hey, we have conventional and complementary care in the PITS program. Let's build your program together. You tell me what you want. Oh, you want an opiate pill? Well, we got to talk about that. Oh, you want an injection? We got to talk about that. You want to do some therapy? What, you did physical therapy and you did it for weeks and weeks and weeks and it was limited? Okay, let's think of something else. Oh, you want to jump to surgery? Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. It's a discussion.
Are there any go-to therapies, go-to complementary techniques based on specific pain conditions?
Well, it's really there's not an exact science that way. Although, you know, when you look, you know, when you go to complementary care websites and, you know, what the government's looking at in science and research and different practitioners and those that have studied, you know, different conditions. You know, acupuncture, we talked just briefly about, you know, it looked at low back pain. It's helped. It doesn't help everybody. It's in the individual. Osteoarthritis, migraines. It's really the patient philosophy. I mean, obviously, if you have a myofascial muscle pain problem, then massage, working the muscles, medical massage, right? Science and research behind medical massage, then maybe that's the first kind of technique, or a yoga to help stretch, flexibility, strengthening of muscles if you have muscle pains. So some are more specific, say, like massage, we just said, and yoga for muscles. But if it's sciatica, you know, and you're having spasms, that's massage. If you're having radiating pain, maybe that's acupuncture and yoga. If you're stressing out from sciatica, then maybe some of those more mindset, guided imagery, relaxation, you know, mindsets.
What's the difference between, and you don't have to be an expert in this per se, but difference between meditation and guided imagery?
Well, meditation, you know, you're repeating, they're both, mindsets, complementary care. Meditation, you're thinking of your mantra or you're repeating a phrase or you're relaxing, you're concentrating on breathing or muscle tension. You know, there's overlap. But guided imagery, especially if you're stressed, is really putting yourself in another place, like thinking of a nice warm beach with rolling waves, the seagulls, the bright sun, children playing. You really put yourself in a different state. So it's like a great distraction that way, guided imagery. Versus meditation, again, repeating your mantra and having more mindfulness. Not so much of like scenery, like an image, like guided imagery is an image. Meditation is more generic. It's on the same continuum, right?
So right. A lot of meditation, mind body stuff feels like it's more the stress management, stress reduction that is what helps with the pain.
Yeah, you know, and very popular among common complementary health approaches. Like in 2012, one of the statistics on the site, 10 most common complementary health approaches, natural products are there, your fish oils, your probiotics, your herbals. Deep breathing was second, and then yoga and tai chi was up there, and chiropractic and osteopathic. But then came meditation and massage, and guided imagery was close to 2% of the adults doing guided imagery. So they made the top 10. Meditation and guided imagery for complementary techniques. So they're very popular.
Yeah. And you mentioned natural products, vitamins, supplements, minerals.
Right.
At the top of the list.
And America's very big on that.
Very big, and there are so many to choose from. And
widely marketed.
In a way, I'm sure some of that is a little bit subjective to the patient and what works for them, as you said.
But there's some science to research for fish oils, for sure, multivites. Probiotics, especially with irritable bowel, you could say it helps with a lot of bloating. And we've talked about probiotics. I take a probiotic. I take cinnamon, green tea. I've tried acupuncture. I've tried massage. Hey, and that's me.
Right.
Just because I'm a chronic pain sufferer, right? Neck and shoulder and knee from sports injuries in medical school. And I'm following my own program. And massage made my knot worse. The deep active massage, the Swedish lighter massage helped, but deep active hurt.
Which is,
I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know if that's not the norm. Mm-hmm. My assumption would be if you've got pain, if you've got a knot, you say, yeah, I want the deep tissue massage. Yeah. I want it, I want a rough because that's what's going to get rid of this. But
it works most of the time, but mine is so chronic and calcified, it's solid. It's not like it's been there for a year or two or three. It's been 20 years now. So it's calcified. I have a calcified knot in my right levator scapulae muscle in my shoulder, and it made it worse. It couldn't break it up. It was too far gone. So, you know what worked? Botox shots.
Ooh. So there we go. Back from, complementary
to the eye
and the injection.
But that's my point, right? I'm doing an integrative approach. So we're trying to encourage all of Americans who hurt with chronic pain to consider complementary care if it's your philosophy. That's our discussion today. We're talking a podcast about complementary care.
Yep. And, talking about how to learn about these things and the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, which is a division of the National Institute of Health.
Yeah, the NIH.
Valuable source of information for this because you can go and look up on the web any of these complementary care techniques and
right.
You don't know exactly the information you're going to get is all positive from the organizations that are promoting these individuals.
And a lot of ads and, their spin on it and things. And but they may be well-intended, but if you want a nice federal resource.
NCCIH.org is probably the good source. And of course, healthstylesnetwork.com will give you objective information and outlook on exactly what is going on with these procedures. And, that they'll usually be helpful. They might not. They might be more helpful for some than others.
Right.
And again, that goes back to the pain is the pitch philosophy of whatever works.
Right. You can do trial and error for these areas that are not, so rigorously studied in science and research. So just because something's not rigorously studied, remember, America, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. So, yes, they tend to be expensive. A lot of Americans are paying big bucks out of pocket if they can afford it to get access to the ongoing complementary care armamentarium. There's tons out there and it's costly right now, but hopefully insurance, if they want to move away from such like high doses of opioids and more towards complementary, I think that would serve us all very, very well. Trying to cut back a little bit on opioids, which is the Pitt's philosophy, and pushing more of an integrative care, I think that's the Pitt's overall philosophy, if that can be done. And of course, reintegrating integrative care into the environment. Remember, we used to do integrative care inpatient, right? To have big pain centers in the 1980s with integrative interdisciplinary care with different fields of care practice all under one roof. It's not practical anymore. Everything's outpatient. So we're trying to coordinate that as well.
You get a mindset, outpatient mindset of inpatient practice. And, you know, inpatient as well, and talking about the opioid epidemic, that there are, we have been hearing about and talking about more emergency room settings and hospital settings where they are bringing in complementary care. Sharon O'Connor even last week talked about Reiki being used in hospital settings, which is seems a little odd that you would look and see somebody in a hospital setting having Reiki performed, you know, this spiritual Eastern
energy fields.
They're not where the person who's the practitioner is not even touching the patient and is yet treating them for pain and other conditions.
That's what a lot of complementary care works off of, these energy fields. We've learned these from traditional Chinese medicine for thousands of years.
They're
real.
It's all very interesting. That there's, you know, now magnetics and copper and things. We were talking about, was it the copper products that are a billion-dollar a year industry now?
We did ask the expert on that. And, you know, when you go to the site for the NCCIH, they say magnets. There's no rigorous scientific evidence that magnets take a role in chronic pain again, right? So it's individualized. If a patient's of the philosophy, I mean, magnets are practically harmless, right? Unless you have a pacemaker or some other medical contraindication to put magnetic fields on you. So you got to be careful with that. You know, always ask your doctor about any complementary technique. You consider it. If this is something that you're of the philosophy and you want to put it as part of your conventional care plan to make a nice integrative course, we encourage that.
We've talked about doctors being reluctant, perhaps, to suggest complementary. What about the patients? Do you encounter patients who just don't want any part of it?
Sure. Well, isn't it their decision? If they've had a bad experience, or they know if it's bad, if they don't share that philosophy, hey, I don't believe in that stuff, right, then we move on. Why should we dwell on something they don't believe in? I can give them, they can see the site, right? Go to painisthepits.com on the Health Styles Network. You know, we're putting stuff on every day up on the website, right? You can read the book philosophy, right? Pain is the Pits, you know, feeling better and living your life, right? You can read the ebook. We have all these sources. And we have all the Pits contributors talking about different complementary techniques. The public wants this. And so, you know, Pain is the Pits and our program, we address these issues, right? Patients want to know more about these options. They want to know more about complementary care. Isn't that why we're doing this podcast? By patient demand, Craig?
That is why we're doing it. And that's, I mean, my personal opinion would be that, if they've tried it and didn't like it or it didn't work, that's fine. Yeah. But if they are unwilling to try it, then they might need to be talked into trying something.
Maybe. Well, what if conventional care is working for them? Then it doesn't even come up.
Sure.
Well, I'm taking this anti-inflammatory, you know, I go once in a while for my epidural steroid shot for my sciatica. I'm staying in shape and doing my core exercises at home 3 days a week, and I don't need surgery, and they feel well, and their impact on their pain is low. Their PIT score, their pain and quality of life score is high, you know, 90s, 100s. Maybe it's not going to even cross their mind. But we know there are millions of patients spending billions of dollars on these things. So, hey, one third of America is looking at, I think that's the recent statistic, one third, okay, two thirds are not, but one third is looking at complementary techniques for their pain and their overall health, wellness, right? This goes way beyond even just pain, chronic pain. It's your healthy lifestyle. So, you know, people are doing complementary care for all kinds of health conditions besides good health. So let's keep that into the big, big perspective. That's why it's so popular, you know? Pain alone, maybe it's $17 billion. But, you know, all of health, maybe it's $30 billion, you know, these 2012 statistics.
Well, there are a lot of complementary care options and techniques to choose from, and there'll probably be more as we go along, that things will come along that people have tried, and if some people find relief, then they will try and help
others. Just
remember
the two broad categories, natural products and mind-body practices. Those are the two broad areas of complementary care.
and they fit perfectly into Dr. Kachajian's Pain is the Pits program.
Right.
Hopefully everyone out there can find something that helps, and if they need to try more than one thing, the integrative approach is encouraged to try whatever works.
Sure. And the more the merrier.
As much as it works, the more the merrier is, right.
Especially in this holiday season.
That's right. So, well, in any case, we'll end it there, and I appreciate
very
the time for Dr. Peter Kachajian and Pain is the Pits. This is Craig Ellenport. You've been listening to the Pain is the Pits podcast here on the Health Styles Network and healthstylesnetwork.com. Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!